We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and thank you, everyone, from wherever it is you are on this beautiful planet tuning in to listen to this podcast today. Master Your Life and Recovery Road, both are shows about insight, intelligence, and inspiration to live a better life. And so it's my absolute delight and honor to have on as my guest today, August Dunning. August, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Good to be here.
So August is a, for those of you who are just listening to this on a podcast, please make sure that you come over to the masteryourlife.ca website so that you can watch the video or tune in to the Master Your Life channel on YouTube, again, so you can catch this on the video version. August is a very interesting man. And I say, I wish I was interviewing people that were in their 20s and 30s because then they haven't accomplished very much yet. But as we get decades longer, it's like our bios get more excellent. Those people who've been doing excellent work in the world, and August is one of those. So August Dunning is a former NASA space station ops system engineer, a chemist and physicist. He's currently involved in Mars mission planning to address the health challenges astronauts face by exposure to solar and galactic cosmic radiation during interplanetary travel. August considers dry fasting to be an effective way to remediate radiation damage, since it has the remarkable ability to restore mitochondrial function and regenerate neurological tissue. Before adopting this idea for astronaut health, he experimented with dry fasting on himself and successfully healed multiple age-related medical conditions. He's also used it successfully with family members and friends and helped them heal a myriad of issues, including obesity, Hashimoto's, leaky gut, loss of smell, and psoriasis, to name just a few. In addition, dry fasting healed chronic bladder infections and chronic almost decade-long dental bone infection, neither of which could be resolved with multiple courses of antibiotics. So August is currently investigating methodologies into anti-aging and restoration of metabolic youth as we age. He is the author of The Phoenix Protocol, Dry Fasting for Rapid Healing and Radical Life Extension. He is all about neogenesis, functional immortality, which I love, as you all know, immortality and functional immortality, those two things together. Gotta love it. And we're going to talk about more about August's work and all of the wonderful things and products that he is bringing into the world as we evolve through this interview. So again, August, thank you so much for coming and being a guest on the show. What got you interested in dry fasting?
Wow. Well, you know, it's sort of the same thing that got Dr. Filanoff interested in it. You know, I had been through all sorts of, this is a really interesting backstory. I've been pulling minerals out of the ocean for years and setting up these exotic tank farms to do all this filtration and stuff. And one of the times I did, I was using this hot glue pipe cement for PVC piping. And I was in a poorly ventilated area and it burnt the epithelial nerve endings in my nose. I couldn't smell anything. Oh, like 3 years, I couldn't smell anything. Food tastes terrible if you can't smell anything. And I tried the salt rinses. I tried medicine. I tried all this stuff. I went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor and no resolution at all. And I finally came across Filanoff's work. And Filanoff had a dog that got hit in a car accident in his barn, laid down for 5 days without eating or drinking and walked away like nothing happened. And I think, okay, that sounds good. Why not give it a try? And sure enough, I did a 7-day dry fast. And after the third day, my sense of smell was coming back. And I've had it ever since. After 3 years of losing them. Now, you're not supposed to be able to regrow neurological tissue, but I did. I had a very interesting bladder infection. Had nothing to work with, a urologist, all this stuff. On that same dry fast, that was gone. Just completely cleaned up. And so I really dug into this, and the fact that it actually worked got me really into it. And then I was thinking, well, geez, you know, I'm working with these Mars research teams and exotic materials at Caltech. And one of the problems is you know, once you get out of our electromagnetic field, you're exposed to radiation, like really bad cosmic radiation, cosmic rays and stuff. And the astronauts go up there, we get these little ping, 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 ping in your eye, these little streaks and these little things happening. It's cosmic rays hitting the retina. And if it's hitting the retina, it's hitting the rest of the body too. You're just not seeing it down here. And I thought, well, geez, maybe if you had a regime of dry fasting to restore the tissue damage on your way out and then get down into Mars when you get there, so you have some kind of shielding deep down into Mars itself, maybe even in the ice packs, since hydrogen shields from cosmic rays. Maybe this is a regime that could be used until we really invent electromagnetic materials and materials that actually prevent damage from this radiation. Because right now, we can't go to Mars. We'll die from radiation. We won't even get there alive, like cancers and all kinds of stuff. That was really intriguing to me. And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute. There's another thing to this that people, you know, are not seeing, not even really Filanoff is seeing this for its potential, is that after day three, when you go into ketosis, you get out of burning all your glycogen up in your muscles and your liver, and you go into ketosis, it's a switch happens because PKA, which is an enzyme required for digestion in the pancreas, turns off. There's no reason you're not processing sugars, making insulin. And that's a signal for all your stem cells to go into regeneration, all 220 niches, everywhere in the body. And in particular, there's a really interesting cell called the Muse cell. These are multi-enduring stress cells that about 3 to 5% of all your stem cell populations have. These immediately differentiate into new tissue. They don't have to go through the daughter cell and the transit activating cycle and the progenitor and then differentiate like they do in the niches. These go into the system and they're in fat cells. It's Muse AT cells. Because once you get out of glycogen, you have to burn some kind of fuel. Otherwise, your brain and your blood won't stay alive. And it starts to tap into your fat cells, which releases these Muse cells, which then regenerates your entire vascular system, all the endothelial layers in your vascular. They just get brand new cells. So I'm thinking maybe there's a regeneration idea to this. And sure enough, I did my DNA test. And although I'm 70, I'm only 68, according to the DNA test. So there's anecdotal evidence that these things are notoriously inaccurate. I'm totally honest with you on this, but at least it's some kind of benchmark. And then I just realized, well, maybe a yearly regime of this is something you don't want to do all the time because you don't want to turn your stem cells on all the time because they're really there for an emergency reservoir to fix stuff, big stuff. But if you could calculatedly go into a anhydrous starvation to activate this for only 5-7 days. Mm-hmm. And you get this regeneration of tissue and you've got new tissue that you know is completely restored and fixed. But the cool thing about the stem cells is the Muse cells differentiate. Some of the stem cells differentiate. A lot of the stem cells just reside and just start pumping out these signals that make all the cells around them behave younger. So when you look at this as not a medical therapy, but it'll solve so many things just out of hand. And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, I got a really good end to this. And that's what sent me down this path to write the book and then Neogenesis book and what to do when you're not dry fasting. But fasting is unique.
So I'm just going to show this, the cover of the book for those people who are actually watching this on a video version, just so you can see the cool rays coming from August Dunning himself. It's a great cover. I loved it. And why it matters, I guess, is it gave me the idea of how you could look after you did this thing or how you could feel after you do this dry fast. And also what I love about it is the speed with which you can get results. Because a lot of times it takes too long to get a result. So people can't stick with it. They can't adhere to the plan. And then they throw their hands up and go, well, I can't possibly do that because it's too much time. It's going to take me forever. That's one of the things I say about going to the gym, you know, so people will go, I'm going to go to the gym to lose weight. And I go, that I just laugh and go, all right, come on. If you haven't been going to the gym up until now, that's not going to help. And it takes a really long time to get results when you go to the gym, and you've really got to know what you're doing.
I'll get into that because
the cost of the gym membership, the what you got to wear, the time that it takes. So this again about this approach. This is like you need nothing, right? It's just like actually you need nothing.
So well, there's a caveat there. You know, Neogenesis is a book about all this muscularity and sarcopenia and osteoporosis. Right. Because what I started to realize, and I think people might understand this, is when you sleep, do you drink or eat? No. You're dry fasting. you go into a ketosis, you go into autophagy, you start trying to clean up yourself, but it's just not long enough. And all these regimes that people talk about, these keto diets, intermittent fasting diets, all this stuff, these diets, the water diet, which is commonly called water fasting, which is really a water diet, they don't address the real issues of how to really heal, because you have to extend the sleep cycle. That's where the healing happens. So dry fasting does that. Once you get into ketosis and you're able to be awake for 5 days after that in a sleep metabolism, that's when these processes are able to last so long. You can replace organelles. You can do mitochondria biogenesis. You can restore your lysosomes. You can restore the endothelial reticulum. You can get brand new lysosomes over in the cells. And this is where the thing happens, because the idea here is age isn't measured in years. It's measured in functionality. Mm-hmm. The reason children and young people are young is because they live in a young body. And if we as adults can take all that debris and all the stuff we've accumulated and all the things we can't get rid of in a sleep cycle, get rid of that garbage, you'll see on their first 7-day dry fast, you get rid of the garbage. You then end up with a metabolism that's like a, you know, an adolescent again. We've never had that as a species, ever. We've always accumulated. And then eventually the accumulation gets to the point where inflammation happens. You have all these systems that are trying to deal with all these toxins and all these problems and these little house fires all over the city, until finally the whole city burns down and you just can't function. That's what dry fasting represents. But it doesn't do the important stuff, which is your ability. It'll fix all that cellular stuff and all that metabolic cellular stuff, but it doesn't build muscle and it doesn't build bone. That's where exercise comes. And in the book of Neogenesis, we do a 3-minute workout. Yeah. With an arginine supplement that stimulates muscle growth and bone growth. And when I did this workout, I was having dental work done because they were putting some implants in from the mercury filling teeth I had to take out. I had to take my root canals out, of course. And the dentist goes, "Okay, Neil, I drilled one of these things, you know, last year, and it was okay. But what I'm doing now, it's like drilling into cement. I don't do workout in my mouth. And what happens is when you work out stress exercise, you release a bone hormone called osteocalcin. Osteocalcin is critical for the rebuilding of bone after it's microfractured from exercise. It comes out of the periosteum, and it works all over your body, in the brain, in the testes, in the liver, in the pancreas, all over your body to make sure these systems work correctly. And when we don't, if we're sedentary, we don't work out, we just can't avoid falling apart. So it's 3 minutes, only 3-minute workout. You can do push-ups as far as you can take them, or you can lift weights as much as you can lift until you can't. It's called, you know, lift to failure. And it really works. It's 3 minutes in the gym. We've been there for 15 minutes. It's actually 3 minutes of actual lifting. It's really interesting.
Right. Sounds interesting. So for people who are interested, Chet, make sure that you pick up the dry fasting book and that you also pick up the Neogenesis book. And paired together, they sound like a pretty powerful 1-2 punch to help people to restore their health and get their functionality back quickly. Why does it, I love this, dry fasting around extending the sleep cycle, because I think a lot of people, again, it's intimidating thinking about doing these things. But when you think about just that you could just sleep for a few days, it makes it a lot less like, what am I going to do during all that time? You know, usually
they put critical care patients in a coma, medically induced coma. They put them to sleep to heal. And they kind of always do it without even knowing it these days. But, you know, it's just an interesting coincidence. It may not be connected, but there seems to be some relationship there.
Love it. And being your own guinea pig, right, is important too. So your own testing out things, August.
I am not going to suggest anybody do anything I haven't done. And I've done my partner and I have done these 9-day and 11-day dry fasts and Philanoff talks about for serious medical conditions like cancer. But what happens when you use these therapies, not for medicine, but actually for longevity? Mm-hmm. And so if you just take it 7 days, it's really interesting because you go through your first acidosis crisis, which is this deep ketosis thing where all the healing and all the killing bacteria and viruses and parasites and all that stuff happens. But you don't last so long that you end up using up so much fat cells. You start using gluconeogenesis to start breaking down other proteins for these ketogenic amino acids. So you don't get into the gluconeogenesis. You don't start tearing up your muscle fiber and your skeletal muscles and your organ tissues like in water fasting. Water fasting is noted for dissolving tissue because it doesn't turn on the fat energy source. You just can't. They're too hydrated.
Right. And that's so important, right? You don't want to lose tissue while you're doing these things. You just want to restore your health. Yeah. So can you talk about how it would affect the mitochondria, specifically the dry fasting, mitochondria, telomeres, like that whole neurological tissue? How does it improve it? How does it help?
What happens is dry fasting turns on NAD. NAD is a molecule that's needed for the base excision repair process, which is one of the things that this huge global inoculation has destroyed. That's one of the problems. It's taken away this ability to have this process fix DNA, because we're always being exposed to radiation and chemicals and stuff, and your DNA is being fixed every day. If you screw that up, it doesn't look good over the long term. So NAD is very important. It's important also in the mitochondria, NAD, NADH. There's a series of electron transfers in mitochondria that are necessary to work through this cycle of the four steps to get from ADP to ATP. So it's making lots of energy that way. So it's a process where you turn on these processes inside the cells themselves that allow your body to detect, oh, I need this, I need that, I can do it now, I'll do it now. So you have mitochondrial biogenesis, where you get more mitochondria. You have mitochondria degenesis, where mitochondria that are damaged and busted get shuttled over to the lysosome, and mitochondria sit around the lysosome too. And they get just dissolved back into amino acids. So that's good. So you end up with a process of intercellular repair, mitochondrial biogenesis, where you get more energy-making organelles in the body. And if you're taking care of your iron levels and stuff, which we'll talk about in a little bit, then they're really happy and do really, really well. The other thing that happens during a dry fast that people realize don't think about is, you know, you think, oh, I can't, if I don't drink for 3 days, I'll die. Well, no, because the citric acid cycle is designed to take free fatty acids and turn into ATP. But during that cycle, it also makes a lot of water. So you're making water inside the cells in your mitochondria that fills the cells full of water that they need for their metabolic processes. And that's why people aren't thirsty on this stuff. And that's why every day of a dry fast, you'll be about a quart of water, because if you're not drinking water, it's got to come from somewhere. Also, you see that your weight goes way down, like about a kilogram or two a day. So you're going to lose like 15 to 18 pounds in 7 days of fat that just gets used up. And that's kind of neat, because when you think about that, your toxins are starting. So a lot of the malaise that people feel during a dry fast is the fact you're tapping fat cells for energy. You're relieving all these toxins in the body that are being flushed into the lymphatic system and out of the body. But at the same time, you're getting a sort of a Herxheimer effect, where all these destructive parasites and all these chemicals are in the system, affecting your headaches and breathing and your heart rate and all this stuff, because you're going through this healing session. You're rebuilding and building and building at the same time. So it's that comfortable, but the trick is, what I find, when you start feeling bad, go in your bedroom, get a box fan in the window, a big fan, just turn that thing on high and sleep under that fan with fresh air, and that white noise puts you right out.
Yeah, those are beautiful strategies. And I think that people do need the coping strategies to how to actually get through this step-by-step process of doing things, because often people will be given a formula or like an idea, and then they don't actually have the step-by-step. And when they hit a roadblock, they don't know how to navigate around it. So again, back to the content in your book was so clear about exactly how to navigate around these things. And what strategies that you've seen other people use as well, you know, to
help.
Yes. How do people replenish that if they're feeling it during this dry fast, if they're feeling like they are dehydrated? How do they actually get hydration?
Well, one of the ones really interesting, and Phil and off these guys found out, is that your skin is porous, and it's designed with these primofacial channels to take water through the skin into the deep tissue to keep your fascia, which is a really important protein function, you are alive. And it just takes showers. Nothing down the gullet. You can't take anything in the mouth. You got to swallow your spit. Don't even spit it out. You can swallow your spit. It's got all kinds of, you know, white blood cells and good stuff that's in the mouth fixing stuff. But you don't take anything in the mouth. You take cold showers. You can do water on the face, ice water like Paul Newman used to do. You can swim in a lake. You can swim in the ocean. You know, you just, those showers really help a lot, because it's really refreshing. And it's got a little, you know, cold shock. Do a cold shower, very refreshing. And there's a couple of video sequences I did on my website on a YouTube channel, the Phoenix Protocol channel, where I take people daily through a dry fast. Mm-hmm. And they can see what I'm doing every day and what's happening every day. And I do one from a hot tub. Actually, it's a cold tub. It's my Wim Hof tub.
Oh, yes. Thanks,
Wim. I put ice in the tub and I get in there and it's cold. It's really refreshing.
And do you get out quickly or do you stay in for?
No, I'm in there for 20 minutes.
Oh, so you're submersing yourself. You're in. Oh, you're sure. In.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How about a snowbank for us Canadians?
There you go. You just get out there in the snow and roll around in the snow. Well, you know, all these guys talk about this stuff. Cold is really good for you. Swimming in cold lakes, that kind of stuff, really good for you. Filonov was part of a clinic in north of Moscow that used to swim in these lakes, and these rivers and streams. And, of course, these rivers and streams are a lot. It's glacial melt coming down. It's pure structured water. You know, that's the cool thing about this thing. It's better in nature. You know, when you get past day two and you're through the transition of going from sugar to fat and you get this ketone burst, you're feeling better, go out for a walk in nature. Mm-hmm. You're going to have trouble sleeping because your circadian rhythm is being reset too. So Ben likes to just sit outside at night and listen to the animals at night in the backyard. That's really refreshing. It's fun. And it's really very soothing. I think nature is the way to go through this. You can do it in apartments. Sure you can. No problem. I've done mine in the house only, before. Mm-hmm. And I like nature better these days. It's funny too, because the more I get into this dry fasting thing, mm-hmm. the more I feel much more in tune with nature. And they talk about this. After your first dry fast, a lot of people talk about having psychic powers. I think there's quite a bit to that. And also in the fact that because you killed all your parasites, which are giving you all these chemical signals to think all this stuff, to eat stuff you don't really want to eat. And this noise, I liken it to a Beethoven's third in E flat, Eroica. And on walks a banjo player. Well, one banjo player is not going to mess up the orchestra, 10,000.
Right.
So you need to get rid of these chemical signals that are not letting you really experience how wonderful life is without these bad actors.
You've hit on so many important points. One of the things I'm captured by, because so many people have difficulty with circulation and they're cold all the time, so they don't necessarily want to, think about doing a cold bath thing or submersing
bath.
Themselves. But my question is, have you noticed in your testing with any yourself or any test subjects, has there been an improvement in the ability in circulation so that people are able to tolerate more cold or even desire it maybe?
Well, that's the other thing. After dry fast, you're kind of looking for that cold shower. You really are. It's the weirdest thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because you reset. There's thing that happens with hermetic stress that people are not put in. And we talk about this convenient, comfortable society that's making us very weak. It really is.
Right. Oh,
you need to get cold. You need to be a little afraid. You need to do a little stress exercise. These are things that made us who we are, that got us here. If you look at a life 90,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago, it was not at all like it is today. You had to go and find food. You had to exercise and run and think. You had to go without sometimes. Feast and famine is the thing that got us here. So I know a lot of people talk to me about, how do you lose weight? Because when I dry fast, I get all the weight back. Well, yeah, of course. You're going to get 7 to 10 gallons of water back or pounds of water back. But then the weight comes back because they haven't changed their eating habits. And you'll find out you just don't need that much food. So the way to lose weight on dry fast, and I think I just did an article on that one on my channel, mm-hmm. is that you just, once you twice a week, don't eat. It doesn't take your body to this point of fear that it's not going to get food again tomorrow. So what happens is your body is constantly recycling fat. You eat food, what isn't used in exercise, put in fat cells. When you're not eating and you need energy, it's taken out of the fat cells. Then you eat again, some is put in the fat cells, it's recycled fat. So there's this basic metabolic balance of fat in the body all the time. It's going up and down. If you start decreasing your food intake just for a day, you're going to start using more and more fat while you're not eating.
Yeah.
And then you'll lose a pound a week just by not eating less.
Right. I remember when I was 30, I was 100 pounds overweight, August, and I lost all that and have kept it off. But one of the key things was really this whole early on was understanding how little food we really need to operate. Right. And I mean, I was athletic. I had one, I was the female athlete of the year in my school when I graduated in 1986. So it wasn't like I didn't know how to physically take care of myself. But I had sexual abuse in the past that definitely caused emotional eating. So as I was figuring that all out, I went, you know, I deserve to actually be in really good shape, physically, mentally, emotionally. And so one of the things I absolutely agree with you on is when you get rid of that fat, that my experience was that my positive self-regard and almost that psychic, the ability to tune in and go intuitively, wow, this feels so much better than whatever else is out there that might be a temptation. So this physical body, the way I think, the way I feel, the way I move, my lack of pain. So all of those things really did change. So the dry fasting thing, when I read again, when we're talking about this, the speed with which it can change, people go, come on, you couldn't change that in that short a period of time, really, could you? And I would say to them, well, try it. Because prove me wrong. Like, so that's part of the thing. People resist. I go, well, prove me wrong. Just what's the harm going to be? So maybe that's the question to you is, what could be the possible harm of doing a dry fast? Or is there a downside?
I think doing it too often. I mean, I really think that's it. Because you don't want to stress your body. This is a very serious form of starvation.
Yes.
Hydro starvation, very serious form. It's one of those things that during like these Pleistocene droughts for millions of years, these are the things that hardened us. The ones that survived it are the ones alive today. They were hard on us. Okay, we don't need to take it that hard. Really don't. Mm-hmm. And one thing I bring up with that video that I just posted, I think you probably enjoyed this, and all your female listeners should get this and show it to your husbands and boyfriends. Is that if you look at an X and a Y chromosome, it's not a Y chromosome. It's like one leg of an X, which means we guys are missing a lot of code, a lot of code. 100,000 lines of code. And what's interesting is that when you think about what women have that we don't have, they see things before it happens. They have this intuition about stuff we don't have as guys. They have a higher pain tolerance. They make the race. They create humanity. I mean, if you look at what females have genetically compared to men, and my father noticed this because he was a doctor. He said, do you know what your job is as a guy? And I go, yeah, to be strong. He goes, no, just to protect the weakest part.
Yes.
To protect the more important part. You're only there to make the nest. You're only there to protect the predator so that the race can go on because you're there to protect women. That's what your job is. And my God.
I love your dad. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, what a wise thing to say. What a wise thing to say. Oh, yes. So
protection, but if you look at it,
it's very hard for women to do that. We're not, sorry, I'm speaking for myself. And I went to the gym for years and years and years, and I'm in good shape. Very good shape, but there's no chance that any time in my life, in all of my training, that I could outlift any of the guys that I trained with. I'm a Qigong teacher. I've been very interested in mixed martial arts.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it's just like, I'm going, yes, because that's the truth. It's like, it didn't matter if I am really athletic. So I'd be wrestling somebody. I'd be pinned just like that. And then we'd kill ourselves laughing about just, you know, how I don't have the ability to protect myself, even if I've got all these skills. So, you know, it's just a beautiful story, or knowing that there's a role for each player in this life.
Of
right?
Course.
Fantastic.
Of course. And if you look at the lion, same thing. The lion sleeps all day long and has the first part of the kill because he has to be strong, protect the females. But when the jackals come in, they wake up the male, he kills all the jackals, he goes back to sleep. That's what his job is. He has one job. The women have other jobs. But my suggestion is to all you girls out there, go on your browser and search electron microscope X and Y chromosome, because you can't miss it. It won't be a cartoon. It'll be an actual electron microscope view of an X and Y chromosome. And you can't deny the fact that women have more genes. They have more genes, which means we need more women in arts and science and everything else, because they can see stuff we guys just can't see. It's just the way it is. Sorry, girls. That's my excuse, Your Honor, and I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah. And we need more men who want to protect. I think that people. Yeah. So let's talk about the dry fasting and how it actually improves your masculinity or your femininity or whatever that is. How does it improve your health so you can be a better man with more protective stuff, or a better woman who's really expressing genetically all the potential that you have?
Well, think about it. You know, if you're able to get rid of all the toxins and all the stuff that are hurting you subconsciously, that are affecting your ability to really focus on the important stuff, because you have these aches and pains and stuff. You know, you always concern them. I said, is it serious? Is it really serious? Is it just, you know, a muscle ache? And you get rid of all that noise. Then, and like I said, people think they have these clairvoyant, you know, moments after a dry fast because they're finally thinking like they used to think as a kid. They don't have all the debris and stuff in you, because every molecule has frequencies, and some are work like this and some work like this. And if you can get the ones that work like this working, everything is working fine. Works on both women and men. The idea here is to get rid of the debris, to get back to metabolism where you're young again, up here and in here. It's really important to do this, because once you get that noise out of the way, you start seeing the lies easier. You start seeing who's trying to fool you easier. You start focusing on the things that you need to focus on, which is wealth and your home and your family and the people that love you. Those are the things that are important. It isn't the politicians and all that stuff. You know, it's right in the center. You know, I used to get a guy that used to be so upset with Obama and all this stuff and say, really, does Obama's dog keep you up at night? It's like, he's way over there and you're way over here. Focus on here, because here's where we are. We only exist here. That's what the whole thing with neogenesis is not being immortal as far as everlastingness, it's having ever presence. That's the key. If we can get young again and live in this moment with ever presence, then a lot of this stuff will just go away. A lot of this noise will go away.
Yes, it's super key, because what I notice is that when people are doing any kind of physical practice that makes their attention to their body, then they start going, oh, that hurts. So even a stretch in the morning, they'll go, well, how do I diagnose myself with anything? I'll just stretch in the morning. Just put your arms above your head. Not even a real stretch. Just put your arms above your head, see how things feel. And people go, wow, that's pretty liberating, because I didn't realize I had all these, you know, sticking points and inflammation, because people don't move. They kind of roll out of bed, you know, shuffle to the coffee pot. You know, there's like this, the chi is, the life force energy is all in this coffee, you know, mug versus that it's in your body. So being present is so cool. I've got 4 grandchildren, August, and another 2 on the way. And so, yes, thank you. You're speaking my language again. It's like this family.
I have a grandson.
Yeah. Aren't they just so much fun? So how old is your grandson?
He's at 12 now.
12, just beautiful.
No, he's a surfer in California.
So. Oh, surfing 12-year-old. So I'm going to go to California and get lessons. That'll be, I'm
when you do, already, but. When you paddle on the board, you don't try to stand up, and you hop up to a squat, keep your CG low, you'll get into the surfing really easy. Just a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, my Qigong is going to enable me to do that, because I do the squat every day. So it's a good position to, you have to know how to do it though, in order to do it anywhere. So you have to have the mobility to do it. Let's get back to your work. Pick up on the thread of the inoculation that's happening right now. One of the things I think that's fascinating about your work as well is you don't need to have a diagnosis of something in order to fix it. And so when you're not feeling that great as the result of anything, it's not really from what I get from your teaching, is that it doesn't really matter if you identify the thing. It's just kind of noticing that things are not quite right, that you don't feel that well, and that maybe you need to do something about it. But you don't necessarily need to have the doctor's prescriptions diagnosis saying, I have fill in the blank here. Like the autoimmune diseases are so mysterious, you know, so you can, mental health issues, you know, people have got, one day they've got psychosis, the next day they're bipolar, the next day they're depressed. So we've got these multi labels of things that people are walking through the world with, like these big sacks of burden. Well, and they don't know where to start. So
I think it's important to say at the onset that yes, you're your best doctor. You know what's going on inside you. However, I'm damn grateful for medicine. I'm damn grateful for antibiotics. I'm damn grateful that we have these doctors that are excellent in trauma repair and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I am not against, you know, the doctors. I'm against some of their training and some of the people that have trained them. But as far as, you know, a group that we really necessarily need, they're there. I like them. My dad was a doctor. I first got into a school in pre-med for neurosurgery. And at that point, I had a talk with my dad. He says, well, you can do this. You'd probably be a good one. But, you know, it's going to be socialized medicine. It's going to ruin the whole industry. And I said, okay. So I thought about that. And I realized that if I take the medical fees away, the doctor's fees, the hospital fees, the insurance fees, and all the other stuff, I could just make the same amount of money in science without all those fees and net about the same, which I have all through this, without taking anybody under the knife. You know, he just really loved delivering babies. That was his deal. He was an obstetrician.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. He had like 5,000 people to his practice, single man practice, 5,000 patients. So it's like he was very popular. But again, I think both have their place. You can't give your sovereignty up to anybody. You got to learn about who you are. And that's kind of where these two books come in. These two books may represent the first try at an owner's manual for the human body, how to operate it, how to feed it, how to exercise it, things you have to worry about and think about, that kind of stuff. And there's another book that's going to supplement Neogenesis. It's going to go into some of the deep dives, some of the stuff I touch on in Neogenesis, because I don't want to make these 300-page books. It's people, a lot of people just won't read them. You need the good stuff. You need the meat. It's not my personal experiences finding this like all these other authors do. It's like, this is the meat. This is what you need to know, kind of thing.
Right.
So that's kind of my whole thrust these days. And it seems to be working. When I employ these things myself first, before I publish these books,
Yes.
That's when I publish the books. It works. Because let's just get serious here. People have no time for just blather. They don't.
Mm-hmm. So Neogenesis, and let's talk about that book a bit. I know I don't have it on to show people the cover of it, but would you be happy to share a little bit more about beyond the 3-minute workout?
Oh, yeah. Neogenesis is a way to think about your whole kind of day. What is your eating? The kind of things that are being told to you that are safe to eat when they're not. And in particular, the seed oil industry. I think it's, if I could tell people one thing, cut out all vegetable and seed oils because it has tons of omega-6. It's really bad for mitochondria. And you just need specific types of coconut oil, olive oil, grass-fed beef butter. Okay, those have stearic acid in them and some vitamin A and E, really good stuff you need. But these other seed oils, very, very cheap, almost in everything. Avocado oil is another good one. Like when I eat chips at the grocery store and I go to Whole Foods or Natural Grocer or Sprouts, I usually, or Trader Joe's, I look for those chips that are cooked in avocado oil. You can't really find them, but they are there. But cottonseed oil, canola oil, sunflower seed oil, all these seed oils are really terrible for the human body, the mitochondria. So that's one thing. If you cut all those things out, you see a huge improvement in your health. So the Neogenesis is about having kind of, you know, an eye-opening thing about let's look at who we are, where we came from, how we got here, what got our brain to grow bigger than all the other primates. And it's really interesting because what we think now, because the brain is like 60 or 80% fat, right? That what differentiated us from the other primates is that at some point along the line, we broke up in some bones and started eating bone marrow because we couldn't catch these big game for meat. We couldn't do it. We're too small, not agile enough, not strong enough. But after a kill, we could go to the kill and rust the bones open and get the marrow out, which has tons of vitamins, tons of minerals, tons of nutrients, and start growing our bones, our brains rather. And if you look at the brain growth when the Lucy character came in, and it looks like from archaeological records, we were breaking up bones and stuff, scratches and impact blows on bones in Morocco and other places, we were getting the bone marrow. We were doing that first. So we were meat eaters. There's a problem with meat, as we all know. You can eat too much of it. And it's inflammatory to some degree. But it also has things you can't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I'm not anti-vegan. You know, I think I should say that right off the bat. I think you can do a vegan diet if you have a psychological aversion to eating other animals. That's fine. But you have to be very careful to get enough leucine to activate your muscle fibers and muscle turnover. You have to avoid the seed oils, which makes it real tough for a vegan. And you have to be able to incorporate the knowledge of what it is that will hurt you so that your veganism isn't going to hurt you, even though you might philosophically be in a good position mentally about it. I personally think that I'm going to eat meat. And I'm going to eat vegan too. I eat everything. Why? Because as we grew up, not anything was available all the time. Mm-hmm. Seasonally, things changed. Drought, famine, feast, all this stuff. But the ones that survived ended up making physiological changes. It's weird. The genetics made differences in us that the other primates didn't have. We have an appendix that the other primates don't have. The appendix, we think now, is an evolutionary change to our bowel to deal with the meat eating, and particularly the stuff that came in with meat. Hair, nail, bone, all this other stuff, because we're just eating with no forks and knives, right? And that we see these physiological changes, these morphological changes over time. I'm wondering, and I put this in Neogenesis, what happens when we start regenerating our bodies and our cells and our brains and all this stuff and keep young long enough? What morphological changes will we occur without having to go to AI? I don't want to chip in my brain. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens if we just live long enough to really blossom? Maybe we just die in the bud. And I think that there's a good evidence that by changing the landscape, by taking the inflammation out of the body in the adult years, so you don't lose everything you've learned into senescence and into dementia, that you end up being stronger. You still have mobility, you still have durability, and you have all that knowledge. What happens then? I mean, that's kind of where this thing is all about, functional immortality, ever-presence.
Yeah, and so many people are suffering with dementia, or they're helping to caretake somebody that has dementia. And so the and that is life-altering, and it can start at very young ages now. It seems like the onset of dementia and these really serious, complicated illnesses, fatty liver disease, you're seeing these things in younger and younger people. I had a client who had an 11-year-old grandson who had fatty liver disease. So it's, don't just look at it in the old folks. It's like, look at it in our young population. So lack of performance in school, the inability to have good cognition, personality changes. There's all kinds of things that is happening because of our
bad food and lack of exercise.
Yeah, lack of food
and act and lack of being active. We sit in front of these things and look at them all day long. We sit in front of TVs and look at them all day long. We sit on couches and never go out and run around, ride a bike after work. That's not good for human beings.
Right.
You know, I just saw where Bruce Willis came down with a neurological issue. Mm-hmm. And I think dry fasting would probably help. I've got some friends that know people that know them, and I've got some feelers out to say, look, I'll go to you, Bruce. I'll go there and I'll run you through a dry fast for 7 to 12 days and see if it has any effect. Because it could be from what's been going on lately, you know. I don't want to get into that topic much.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, and maybe this is an unfair question, but something to think about. And then if we have an opportunity to talk about it again, I'd love your answer. Because my dad had Huntington's disease, and it's a very significant movement disorder. So he was moving all the time. What time he wasn't moving is when he was sleeping. So he actually needed to consume, according to the neurologist, between 8 and 12,000 calories a day. So just for a comparator for the listening audience, our normal caloric intake according to regular standards is anywhere between 1500 and 2100, different for men and women and different at different ages and stages of life, but ballpark that. So if you compare 8 to 15,000 compared to 2100 or 1500 is quite a differential. So with somebody who's got a movement disorder or something like that, would dry fasting be a possible way to ameliorate symptoms? And do you think that they could tolerate it for that amount of time?
Well, there's two ways of thinking in this. One is that it's a genetic issue, as we know. Mm-hmm. What's triggering the gene? Because if it's not being triggered, it's not being expressed. Mm-hmm. So if it's a toxin, which is usually how we see this, is there something that just happens to ping it just the wrong way that this process turns on? That perhaps, and you know, it's all the luck of the draw. There's probably a lot of people that get it and don't get it, as we know. A lot of people are exposed to a wide variety of things that other people are not exposed to. So there's that problem.
Right.
I always think that, you know, age, as we look at it right now, aging and lifespan, has to do with the luck of the draw to some degree. So if you don't get rid of these toxins, you don't know how you've been, what you've been exposed to, when you've been exposed to it, and how much you're exposed or not exposed, and it could affect lifespan and health span dramatically. Mm-hmm. So my first go-to idea with anybody with any kind of problems right now is dry fasting. Not every problem. You know, it's not a panacea for everything. It can't be. Nothing is. But because it could just be an exercise problem, not a thing to do with dry fasting at all. But if you have neurological problems and that kind of stuff, boy, it's almost worth your while to kind of consider this, because usually all these problems come from some kind of toxin that is turning on that expressed gene. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's my basic understanding of this and where I would sit on that fence.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your answer, because I know many of our listeners are dealing with these movement disorder stuff, Parkinson's disease, dementias, or if they're not dealing with it directly themselves, they're helping somebody and caretaking somebody that is dealing with these things. So if there's some tools that they can have that can help them to improve that quality and quantity of life, the health and wealth of their family, their own self and their family, then that's priceless. And so thank you again for that. We've only got a couple of minutes left. What would be key takeaways that you would want people to have from our discussion today?
Well, you know, there's we didn't touch on it, but there are some things we came up with to enhance this process, these nutraceuticals, I'm going to call them. One is fisetin gets rid of senescent cells. Senescent cells cause all kinds of damage to the surrounding cells, make them senescent because of their cytokine storms that they emit. So getting rid of senescent cells is critical. Fisetin does that perfectly. No dose is toxic. Take it every day if you want. I do. That's great. We sell that on our website, cytolife.com. We also have one called stem cell regen, which is really important because it increases the production of stem cells and blood cells in the bone marrow by 70%, which means if you've got illnesses, you need an immune system. That's where the immune system cells are built. So stem cell regen is one of those. And it's based on studies where they found that these four or five nutraceuticals individually didn't do this, but synergistically they did. So it's a synergistic between these nutraceuticals that actually causes the thing to work with that very low dosage. I like low dosage stuff. I think it's a good idea. In the polyphenol plus product we have a little bit of trans-resveratrol, not the regular, just trans, you know, it works. But it also has curcumin and all this other stuff in there that has been shown in these other studies that these micro doses of these things together have the same effect as large doses of other things of the same thing. So it's this really interesting knowledge that we found from science that has been employed in these particular products that, hey man, it really works. And it doesn't require a lot to do a lot of good. So we've done that part of the science part. The other thing is the take home about this is you do this every day when you sleep. You dry fast every day when you sleep. You're not eating and you're not drinking. So it's something you'd naturally do anyway. And you have this ability due to millions of years of evolution to draw upon fat cells for energy when you don't have any food. And they're designed to do that. That is your friend. You need to control it in different ways other than dry fasting, which I talked about. Just drop eating out a day of the week. You realize you don't need as much. And drop the seed oils out. I mean, those two or three things there, man, you're going to be a lot better off.
Love it. Thank you so much, August. Maybe you'd come on again and talk more in depth your products. That'd be fantastic. We're out of time for today. So everyone, I hope that you're ready to take on the dry fast. We'd love to hear from you how your experience is with the dry fasting. If you give it a go, you can email us. You can follow the social media links at masteryourlife.ca. In the meantime, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.